speaking to yourselves, teaching one another, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Somebody fearful and worried and doubtful, just sing that song to them. More secure than no one ever. God's people. Angel of the Lord encampeth round about them, the fear. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. As most of you know, we've looked at this chapter more than any other in all of God's Word. We've done a message on every single person listed here many times. There's a reason for that. I was just reading this for myself. And I love this. I love this. These are stories of people just like us. And people in the world just like us and all that they went through. And they lived by faith. These are believers whom God has given this gift of faith. See, by grace, you say, the sovereign electing grace of our God. God chooses whom he will and reveals Christ to them and in them. They're his elect. And he comes through the preaching of the gospel, reveals the true God, what they are, sinners, and Christ, the sinner's substitute, the sacrifice. And they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives them repentance, faith, salvation of the Lord. Every part of it. He's elect by grace, you say, through faith. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, faith doesn't save us. Christ saves us. But everyone whom Christ died for, the Spirit of God gives this faith in Christ. Belief, trust, confidence. And we live by faith. Not only have life, eternal life, the gift of God's eternal life, his son in us, but our life from then on, when born again, we live on this earth by faith, not sight. We look to our Lord. We look to his word. We believe him. We trust him. We have confidence in him. And we are taught by him, led by him. The world doesn't see him. The world doesn't believe him. We do. We live by faith. And these people did that. And actually, and like James wrote a whole book, faith without works is dead. Faith is not just saying you believe God, believe Jesus. Everybody says that. And James says, show me. And so faith is the gift of God. It's, the scripture says it's the working of his mighty power. The operation of God to make a human being do what they cannot and would not do except by the power of God. And these illustrations, these examples of all these people that had faith, God-given faith. It's just another word, listen to it. Faith is just another word for life, eternal life. This is what the life of God, the grace of God will do through his people. And these examples, okay? And so, because God gets all the glory. These people are born of God, they believe God, and God gets all the glory for everything they did. Right? Or they wouldn't, if God hadn't worked in them the will and the do of his, they wouldn't have done any of it. You with me? I don't want to repeat that again. But I might. Because I'm not bragging on faith. I'm not bragging on these people at all. We're boasting in the Lord who gives this faith. Verse 1, faith's the substance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? Eternal life. It's the ground, it's confidence. What makes us think we're going to have eternal life? God promised it to them that believe Christ. So, that's good enough. Is that good enough? I believe. Well, he said, well, you have eternal life. It's the evidence of things not seen. There was a time I did not believe. There was a time when I did not care for these things. Right? The love of God was not in my heart. I loved the things of this world more than anything. I didn't want any part of it. Well, this power of God, the gospel, came and worked in me. The working of his mighty power. Like Saul of Tarsus. You now believe, don't you? I do. You love this? Yeah, I sure do. A new heart. Written on the heart, he said in chapter 10. Verse 2. By faith, elders obtained a good report. Started to name this a good report. The elders obtained a good report. Look at verse 39. They all obtained a good report. You remember the spies going in the promised land? They came back with a good report. It's good. It's all good. Well, Joshua and Caleb, they had this faith. They believed. And they had a good, their faith was a good report. When our Lord said of Caleb, he's followed me fully. He's going in. He believes me. Good report. All these people, they brought back a good report. And they all went in. I went in. I want that to be said of me. A good report. Look at verse 3. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. That's the creator. It begins with the creator. Faith begins with God. The whole Bible begins that way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that, don't we? Clearly. The world didn't believe that. And I was saying Wednesday, why would you listen to people that say there's no God? Why would we put any credence to anything they say when they say there's no God? I'm not going to listen to those people. I'm going to listen to my creator. Well, who's the creator? John 1 says Jesus Christ is. That's how the Bible begins. That's how Matthew begins. The generation of Jesus Christ, he who made life. How John 1 begins, Romans begins, the gospel of God concerning his son. He is God. This whole book of Hebrews begins this way. God, sundry time, in divers manner. And it quickly says, Jesus Christ is God. And then the whole book is about what Jesus Christ came to do. Not try to do. What he did. Isn't that what, John, I thought if I get off on any of these other chapters, I'll stick there. Now once and in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's a false gospel that says Jesus Christ died for every single human being. And your faith makes it the blood effectual. That's heresy. That's a false gospel. Nobody's ever been saved by that. Mm-mm. This whole book speaks of Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did, who he did it for, where he is now, and what's going to happen. What? I read, I'm stuck, I'm fine, that's fine with me. I read where it says, he's sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. He ain't outside anybody's heart's door. He's seated expecting his enemies. I got to holler this. If only to open all the windows and doors. Stop every passerby. You don't understand. You're shaking your fists in the face of God and you're not going to win. But if God be for us, who can be against him? Who's God for? Those that are for his son. Those that bow to his son. That needs to be said every time we stand up. Christ came. Put away sin. He did it. put away sin of his people. And this is every believer believes that you're not a believer if you believe in evolution. You're just not a believer. You don't know God. Don't know the truth. You're not a believer if you believe in some kind of creationary evolution. That, no. And to believe that God is a creator means he made us. That means he can do with his own what he will. And he does. Don't you? If you make something, God's the potter, we're the clay. Every believer knows that. We're clay in his hands to do with as he will. And nobody can say anything about it. Anybody believes anything less than that doesn't know God. It begins this way. Doesn't it begin this way? We believe he's created. And if he created us, he owns us. If he owns us, we're answerable to him. He's our judge. He's our owner. We're in his hands to do with as he pleases. What does that create? What does that put in every person that believes this God? Fear. That's where it began. The fear of the Lord. That's where faith begins. He's God. Whether you know you're a believer, one of his children or not, you believe he's God. It's the first thing you understand. He's God. And he can save me or damn me. All right. Now look at the first illustration. Abel. What did Abel bring? Blood. Verse 3, 5, 4. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We're still talking about Abel's sacrifice. Why did Abel bring a dead animal, the blood thereof? Because God's holy. Because he realized that his father and mother and man sinned in the garden and fell and cast out of the presence of God. And God's holy, and you can't come into the presence of God but by a substitute. He heard this from his parents, Adam and Eve, didn't he? Like Cain did. They said without that God, we saw the God, we saw Christ take an innocent lamb without spot and without blemish and cut its throat. Shed its blood, it died that we wouldn't have to die. God said, the day you eat, you'll die. Well, we didn't that day. God killed a substitute in our place. That's what Adam and Eve told both his sons. A substitute in our place. God is holy. We rebelled against it, and he's holy, and he showed us. You can't come into my presence without blood, without faith in a substitute, a sacrifice, an atonement for your sins. And he covered us in that skin of that lamb. And that's Christ. That's the Christ that's coming. That's the Messiah that's coming. That's the substitute that's coming. That's the sin offering. That's the burnt offering that's coming. Christ to put away sin. Abel, Cain, boys. God's holy. You can't come to this God with your works. No, it's blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, Abel, God convicted him of his sin. There's only one way you'll come to God by Christ, and that's the conviction of sin. I'm a sinner. I deserve to die. And he came before God and said, this lamb, this sacrifice, It is what I deserve. This is what I'm pleading. A substitute to die for me. Christ to come. I'm a sinner. I need a substitute. Here's the blood. Accept the blood for me, would you please? Cover me in his righteousness. God said, accept it. Isn't that our sign? Accept it in the blood. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's what every single believer, that's how they come to God. No exception. They know God's holy. creator and do with us as we will. And he ought to cast us out like he did Adam and Eve. But God, rich in mercy, sent Christ to substitute a blood offering. And we come like Abel. There's no exception. We come with the blood, the blood of Christ. And God accepts it. That's I have an outline here. Faith's understanding. I didn't give you that. We understand creation. But the first thing is faith's sacrifice. See, God doesn't accept anything we do, but he accepts everything Christ did on our behalf. That's faith's sacrifice. Here's faith's walk. Look at verse 5. Enoch, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God had translated him, transferred to a different place, transformed. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. That he that cometh to God must believe he is. You see that? Must believe God is the creator, our sovereign, our holy, just God. And that Christ is God and our substitute. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek me, you'll find me. Well, Enoch, and back in chapter 5 of Genesis is where the story is found. You don't have to turn. But it's the story of Enoch, and it says that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Now the scripture says, how can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. All right, now here's the thing. Here's faith. Enoch walked with God, not the world. You can't walk with God and walk with the world. The world is headed a different direction. There is a way that seemeth right to man. The end is destruction. And when God turns his people, what does he do? He turns us from that way to himself, to walk with him by faith in him. Enoch walked with God, not with the world. He lived in the world. He wasn't of the world. He didn't walk according to the course of this world. He did it one time. I believe, according to Genesis 5, that Enoch was 65 years old when the Lord saved him. Is that what you get? He was 65 years old. And it says, then he walked with God and he bore sons and daughters. He was married. He had a family. Large family. One time we looked at Enoch and he walked with God. He was a believer in a world like us. He lived 365 years. How many children did he have? Well, if he'd been like my niece, Luke's wife, he'd have had 400. You know the trouble, the responsibilities he had. The troubles he had. The debts he had. How hard he had to work. How many jobs did he have to support all these men? At any given time, he might have had 20 teenagers living under the same roof. Woo! But he walked with God. He still believed God. He worshiped God. You walk with God, you worship God. You come where God is, with God's people. Right? That's where God said. Where are you going to be, Lord? Where two or three are gathered. That's where I'll be. With God, with God's people, worshiping the Lord. It's my life. This is the life of faith. You see? It's like marriage. It's not like one day you say, am I going to go home or not? You're married. You love life. You walk with God. Talk with God. Commune with God. Had a relationship with God. They were in union together. He had the mind of God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? He agreed with God on everything. Which means he pretty much disagreed with everything the world says. Right? Let God be true. This is what Enoch said. Let God be true and every man a liar. We soon found out, didn't we? The flood is the next chapter. The flood. We found out.
who's true. Whole world destroyed. Enoch said, I'm walking with God. I believe God. Now, man's not going to go against the world of his own will. But boy, when the word of God and the gospel of God and the power of God comes, he will. Everyone will. This is what faith does. Faith says, I believe God. I believe Christ. And if anybody walks with me or not, fine. If not, I'm going to walk with God. Elijah thought, I'm the only one. Didn't he? I'm the only one. No, Elijah, there are more. But most of God's people feel alone in the workforce. By the way, that first man, Abel, was the first separation in family, wasn't it? When the truth came and one believed and the other didn't, there were only two brothers on earth and they were separated by the truth. What does that tell you? Two religions on earth, grace and works, and that divides this whole planet. And everybody believes there's going to be that division. There's going to be that division in the family. Faith sacrifice, faith walk, look at faith's fear. Don't you love this? Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He was warned of God. What? God didn't tell him he loved everybody. Did he? You won't find that word in that chapter. He said the whole earth, he said it repented me that I've made man. I won't destroy him. God hasn't changed, and man hasn't changed. And our Lord said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Didn't it? Noah heard the warning. Noah, chosen by God again, loved by God, had the truth revealed to him by God, and God warned him. And Noah moved with fear. What did he do? What did he do? Prepared an ark. God said, Noah, I'm going to destroy this whole planet and everybody in it. But there's one place of safety. There's one refuge. There's one salvation for all these guilty sinners, whosoever. And it's an ark. And Noah's name means rest. That's Christ, isn't it? He's our Noah. And he said, but I'm going to save a people through you, Noah. And you're going to build this ark. You're going to build this ark. The story sounds like Noah built that whole ark by himself, doesn't it? Why is that? Because Jesus Christ did do the work by himself. But he said, Noah, with you have I seen righteous in this generation. With you have I had my covenant. Noah, with you, you're going to save mankind as a species. You're going to save everybody that I bring to you and put in the ark with you. Noah, you're the savior. And this ark, build this ark, build this refuge, build this place of safety, Noah, and bring them in. That's Christ, isn't it? That's Christ crucified. That ark bore the wrath of God. But every single animal that was in that ark was saved. But fear. Noah moved with fear. Does it not say that our Lord feared? He was heard in that he feared. And he's the one that did this work of salvation to the saving of his house. And everyone that believes, though, every single person like Noah that believes is going to tell his family, is going to tell his wife. Noah said to his wife, honey, we've got to be in that ark. You're coming with me. We're going into that ark. Shem, Ham, Japheth, I don't want to go there. Get up, boys. If you're not in that ark, you're going to perish with the rest of the world. Get up. Get up. You come with me. Noah said, for me and my house, if I have anything to say about it, I'm going to be in that ark. He believed. Did he believe? The saving of his house. Faith's fear, warm.
Look at faith's journey. It says Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place, verse 8, he should have to receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, went out, not knowing where he was going. But by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. This is faith's journey. And it starts by leaving home. Abraham, when he was called, and he was 75 years old, he went out. He was an idolater, people. He lived in Ur of the Chaldees. That was Muslim, Islam. It's that old, isn't it, Brother Ed? Islam. That's what he was. But when God called him, he left idols to serve the living and true God. He left his father's religion to follow the true God, the true Christ. He left. That's where this journey starts. Come out from among them. He brings us out of our idols, out of our Father's house, out of this world. And he sojourned, verse 9, a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle, tents. He knew he didn't have a permanent dwelling place. He lived in tents with Isaac and even Jacob, didn't he? All his life. We know that, don't we? That we dwell in a tabernacle, a temporary dwelling. We know that. And we're strangers and pilgrims in this land, looking for a city, journeying through this city like Bunyan's Christian pilgrim. He's leaving the city of destruction. He's got his eyes set on the celestial city. We're going to look at that in a minute. You saw it afar off. Look at faith's strength. It says in verse 11, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She judged him faithful who had promised. Faith, Sarah was 90 years old, wasn't she? And God said, you're going to have a son. And she laughed. And God didn't laugh. He said, why does Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Here's the picture. Sarah was a 90-year-old woman, like Abraham was an old man, and God appeared to him. Can you convince a 90-year-old woman of anything? Let me ask mother. She's the only one in here. Can you convince a 70-year-old? There's a few of those in here. 60? 50? Can you? You're pretty much set in your ways, aren't you? I tell you who must. And who will? Our Lord. We'll convict. We'll convince. We'll overcome. We'll create faith. She received strength to receive seed. She had a child born. It's impossible. You see the picture? A man can receive nothing now except to be given from above. And as many as received him, him has received the truth. They have the right, the privilege. They're sons of God. But how did they receive it? Where did they get this faith? How was this son born in them? How was this faith born in them? God. The power of God. She received strength. That is a working of his mighty power in her. He said, you have strength. You have life now. That's a picture of faith. My wife's grandmother was 70. Was she 70? Somewhere around 70 years old. Well, she's a pretty hard-headed woman. Independent woman. And very knowledgeable woman. Very talented woman. Very capable woman in many things. She's just very, very almost, what do you call it? Feminist. Well, she came to hear her son, Eddie, brought her to hear my pastor one time, and she sat there, and she just shake her head like this. I don't like that. She was First Christian Church or somewhere. Methodist, same thing. She'd shake her head like that. And she'd say to Eddie on the way home, he contradicts himself.
She didn't know a thing about the Bible, but she was
picking it apart, trying. She just sat there like this. Okay. Well, after a little while, her head stopped shaking. A little while later. A little while later, 70-year-old woman getting in that baptistry. I believe.
She received strength.
See, faith is not an act of the human will. It's an act of God.
Amen.
It's the power of God. See, and I've heard people say that. I'll never believe that. You will if God operates on you. And you, then from then on, you won't believe nothing else. No way. Can't do it. Faith is strength. Faith is confession. Look at this. I'm in 28 minutes. I got a timer right here. 28 minutes. Stay with me. It's faith's confession. Look at this. It says in verse 13, these all died in faith. Lived in faith and they died believing the same thing. The same one, that is. They didn't vary, Millie, they didn't change. Their theology didn't change ever. God's holy. We need a substitute Christ. He's our only hope. God's to be feared. They never quit fearing God. They believed God. They rejected the world. Never changed. Not with the enlightened age. Or we're modern society. We've learned more. Oh, man. It's never been further from the truth than it is right now. Never. Well, faith confession. Here it is, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but saw them afar off by faith. Were persuaded of them. Faith persuasion. Are you persuaded of what? Him. It's not just doctrine. With the heart man believeth. The Son of Righteousness comes into your heart. And you believe him. You're persuaded, like Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded of him. Persuaded, embraced. Embraced them. That means laid hold of and hug. There's some people in here that hug you. You can't hardly get away from them. They just hug you. Hug you. Well, that's fine. They must love you. Right? You don't hug people you don't love. Embrace is to hug, is to lay hold of and hug and say, I don't want to lose you. Jacob said, I will not let you go till you bless me. Embrace. This is faith's embrace. Oh, you love this truth? I'm not going to let hold. I've laid hold of my comfort, and by God's grace, I'm going to hold on this to the end. Now, everybody's going after this and going after that. Here's something new. I don't need something new. I want the old paths in a good way. I've got rest for my soul. Like every single believer before me rested in Christ alone. No, you can have all that. I've laid hold of Christ by faith. How about you? Faith's confession. It says they confessed, verse 13, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is not my home. This world is not my people. They confessed. And here's faith's desire. And faith's hope. It says in verse 14, they that say such things declare plainly. They seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from which they came out, they'd have thought about that place. They'd have gone back. They'd had opportunity to return. But now, by the grace of God, the power of God, the work of God in them, their desire is a better country, heavenly, God's not ashamed to be called their God. They're not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed of them. He's prepared for them a city. And that's their desires. Like David said in Psalm 27, he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." And that's what I'm going after. Lord willing, Wednesday night we're going to look at Psalm 92, where it says, "They that be planted in the house of the Lord." Planted. I want to be like that. Planted. And my desire, by God's grace, is to be here. That's how you know the Lord has done a work of faith in you. That's why you know the Lord has really done a work in you. You really desire to be here. You're not here because you have to be. You're not here because you're supposed to be. You're not here because it's your duty. You're here because you desire. It's your love. Right? And if that's not there, it won't last. If your desire is not to Christ and His people and His kingdom, it won't last. It eventually something or someone will tear you away. But here's faith's desire. Let me just read this to you in closing, okay? Naomi said to Ruth. Now the Lord had done a work in Ruth. Pagan girl. She said, "Go back. Your sister-in-law's gone back to her people and her gods. You go with her. Go on. Going back now. There's a door. I'm going back to where God's people are. Bethlehem." She said, "Please, entreat me not to leave you." This is what God's people say to Christ. "Please, I don't want to go back. To whom shall we go?" Huh? "Oh, retreat, let me follow you. I just want to follow you. Where you go, I want to go. Where you lodge, where you dwell, that's where I want to lodge. Your people, they're my people. This God is my God. Where you die, oh Lord Jesus Christ crucified, I want to be crucified with you, buried in baptism. There I'll be buried. I'll be buried in baptism. You told me to confess you, I will. I will. One of the ladies said the other day when talking about baptism, she said, "Every time somebody's baptized, I want to get back up in there again." What's that? Confessing Christ. I want to tell everybody. This is, He's my hope. "There I'll be buried. May the Lord do to me and more also if anything but death parts thee and me." Is that your confession? Huh? No, I'm not. By the grace of God, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to go with Christ. Go with God. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with Christ. I want to be with His people. They're my family. They're my, and my great desire and my hope is to be with them forever in glory, beholding Christ's glory, singing His praises. How about you? Is that you? It is every single believer. All of these things. Every believer. Every believer. May God make it so. All right. Brother John, you come. Number 333. May the mind of Christ my Savior. 333.